For 15 years, Robert Kaplow amused and annoyed Morning Edition listeners as Mo Moskowitz. Mo was a fictional hapless huckster who periodically invaded Morning Edition with dozens of sure-to-misfire get-rich-quick schemes.
First there was Tickle Me Elmo. Now there's Crowbar Me Curly. Look, you squeeze the doll and he says,
"Hey, what you doing with that crowbar?"
Kaplow still creates fictional characters, but these days they're more grounded in reality. A few years ago, he came across an old photograph from a 1930s production of Julius Caesar. It was a picture of a boy strumming a lute on stage with legendary actor, director, and producer Orson Welles. The photo inspired Kaplow to write a novel titled Me and Orson Welles. It's a coming-of-age story about a teenager named Richard who has a whirlwind brush with fame. Here's how Kaplow begins his novel.
This is the story of one week in my life. I was 17. It was the week I slept in Orson Welles' pajamas. It was the week I fell in love. It was the week I fell out of love. And it was the week I changed my middle name twice.
What Richard is trying to do is just fit in at his high school, trying to fit in with a girlfriend, you know, those normal senior high school sort of things. And then
through a sort of miracle of luck, he ends up involved in the birth of what will be the Mercury Theater. It's November of 1937. Orson Welles, age 22, is a week away from opening his production of Julius Caesar, and miraculously, he gets this small role of Lucius, the serving boy, and suddenly he's got to deal with Mr. Orson Welles.
It's a Walter Mitty story.
Yeah, and I think part of the fun in writing it was the pure fantasy of it. What would it be like to want to be in that theater on that week, on that street? I mean, the story of Richard is invented, but set in the skeleton of this real thing that happened with these real people, although I've reorchestrated it, so to speak.
What was 37, 38, 39?
37, November of 1937.
It is amazing because these actors were just barely older than your 17-year-old hero.
Yeah, and all of them, young men in their 20s. And I think that's part of what gives a kind of crazy energy. You know, it's amazing. I mean, here's Welles saying, okay, not only am I starting my own theater company, but I'm the producer, the director, and the star.
And I'm 22 years old.
Yes, I'm 22. Welcome to my show. And it was a hit, a fantastic hit. And for Welles, you know, the Mercury Theater now existed. He ran it only for about a year. I think he got seduced by radio and then seduced by motion pictures.
And this is basically a company that scared the entire country a year or two later on CBS.
Right. It's the same actors.
The War of the Worlds.
Yes, right. The same people. Welles is 23 when he did that.
But the idea of you getting to put words into the mouths of Orson Welles and Joseph Cotten. Really?
So
yes. Welles, of course, has a diva moment on just about every page.
Right. Well, it was like it was like writing for this performer. You know, it was like I got to write this fantastic script and give him the best part that he would ever have in his life, which is himself. So as you said, he gets to hold forth on acting and hold forth on New York theater and hold forth on why every other production in New York is second rate to his, what he's doing. And you pretty much better get out of his way or you're going to be annihilated, as Richard is.
Yes, Richard. Poor Richard.
Yeah. He has it for a second, you know? For a second, he's got it in his hand, and then the anvil comes down.
He falls madly in love with Welles' personal assistant.
Yes. That's one of the moments where I had to cheat history a little bit, because in the actual production, the boy who played Lucius was about 14. And in my story, I wanted to make the character much closer to age and Welles, so they're kind of rivals. Romantic rivals for this girl, and maybe even artistic rivals in a way. So I upped his age so that I could use that angle.
But this girl, Sonia, turns out to be very ambitious.
She's about as ambitious as Welles. She's sort of the female Welles.
Sonia temporarily makes Richard's dreams come true, but Then he discovers that she's...
she's making other people's dreams come true as well.
Yes, and always looking for those greener pastures and trading up, as it were.
Yes. No, that's exactly it. And I think she has a sort of a romantic and kind of even sort of sentimental evening with Richard. But it's just, as you said, it's a stepping stone. And by the end of the book, she's dating David O. Selznick.
Well, why not?
Yeah, right.
This is incredible research you've done here.
A part of my attraction to this period is radio. And so I wanted my book to be filled with music of the period and filled with radio of the period. You know, the radio's on all the time in this book. I would make the background as real as possible. So if someone turned on the radio on, you know, Thursday, November 11th, 1937 at 10 in the morning, in the book, you would actually hear what would be on the radio at that time. So I found the original New York Times radio listings for the whole week. When I started this project, I said to myself, if I could just be in New York for 10 minutes in 1937, I would have everything I need for this book. Just, you know, the light and the pavement and the smell of the air and everything. And then by the end of the book, I felt I'd done it, you know, that at least for a second, I had just slipped through and felt what it must have felt like.
Robert Kaplow is a high school teacher and writer who lives in Metuchen, New Jersey. His new novel is titled Me and Orson Welles. The photograph that inspired Kaplow's book is at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.